Log Talk Radio.
But he was here last
All
time.
Right. Hello, 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 hello. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Come on in. Welcome. This is Randy Love Ministries. This is Overseer Timothy Jackson. I have with me co-host, the Watchman on the Wall, none other than Elder Bazaar himself. Amen. Here to help me present the end time study, the study of eschatology, the study of the last days events, which we are living in. Amen. Make no mistake about it.
Amen, bro.
Amen. If we were to calculate time, amen, we would say we are in 6,000 years, according to the Bible. From Adam to Abraham was 2,000 years. From Abraham to Christ was 4,000 years. And from Christ to present, we know, is now, amen, just over 2,000 years. Amen. And God
works
on time. Amen. He is on a time clock. Amen. And he is watching. He's always on time. Amen. There is no doubt about it that we are very, very close to the return of Christ. We've been seeing in the news they're building the third temple. Amen. And so,
amen,
this, amen, should, amen, raise a brow to a lot of us that study the Bible, that are in the church. Amen. Whether you study the Bible or not, amen, you should be involved in what's going on. Amen. That's what we're here for, to share and share information and shed light. Amen. I guess your traditional mainstream preachers and pastors, especially some of the more, I guess you could say, mega church pastors, it amazes me that none of them are saying anything about this.
That's right.
It's amazing. I don't hear anybody talking about it.
Nobody.
I mean, you go to any regular church, I don't hear no pastors talking about it. It amazes me. And this lets us know, those of us who are aware, that we are close. And the reason why we say that is because God, because Christ said, what did he say? He said, I'm going to come like a what? A thief in the night. Amen. We know that a lot of church members are currently sleeping. They are snoring. They are grinding it out. They are sleeping so hard they don't know what's going on. And amen. We are doing the best that we can. Amen, doctor. We're doing the best that we can to ring the alarm and say, hey, man, we ring the bell. Wake up.
Ring the bell. Drop the hammer.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Amen. We don't want nobody to be lost, but sad to say, looking at the world, we know there's going to be far more lost, according to the word, than saved.
It is.
That's
it
Bible.
Is.
Amen. Knows that when we say things, it's biblical scripture. Scripture. We're not making
That's
this
right.
stuff up.
That's right.
We're not being mean. We're not saying stuff to be ugly. We're not saying things to be boastful and to say, aha, I'm saved, and aha, you're not. It is not like that, because we know what's about to happen. Amen. So what I'm going to do, brother, amen, I'm going to read the scripture. Look, I want to get right into this. Amen. I'm going to say a quick prayer. We're going to jump
right
in. I'm going to say a few words. I'm going to turn it over to you kind of early. Amen. But I want to read some scriptures, amen, before we do. I'm going to read the context of love. I'm going to say a quick prayer. Then I'm going to say a few words. Then I want the elder to come on. Amen, and bless us, amen, with his God-given spiritual wisdom and knowledge. We need it as much as we can get it this day and time. First,
amen. Amen.
The 12th chapter. Amen, doctor. Verse 31 through 1 Corinthians, the entire 13th chapter. Amen. I got to speak in the morning, so amen. Amen. I got some studying to do once I get off the air, because I got to present the message tomorrow morning. Amen. They want me to talk about eschatology, which is exciting. Amen. To see that churches are now, amen, that they are saying, you know, some of the same things. It's good to hear pastors is acknowledging, hey, church is over with. The church is over. The church is dead. The church is done. They're acknowledging. Some of them are finally recognizing that we are not going back. If you can't see that now, I don't really don't know what to tell you. We are not going back to the way that it was. Amen. I know that's heartbreaking and heart-wrenching. Hey, I love church just like you guys love church. I love to go there and hear great singing and praise and worship and just praise and worshiping God. I love to hear the word. I love to be among the saints. But the church age is over. This is it. Amen. This is it. Amen. Like I said, I know we enjoyed those mass choirs singing and jamming on the keyboard and the drums and the tambourine. Hey, I enjoyed church and the word of God just like any other saint. Amen. But guess what? We're about to go higher. Amen. It's not a sad time for us. It's a great time for us. Man, you better get to, you talking about really have church. Oh, man, you wait till Christ come back. You're going to have more than church, man. You're going to be praising God for all eternity. You're going to get your heart's desire to serve God for all eternity. Amen. Let me go ahead. Amen. Then I'm going to say a quick prayer. But cover us with the best gifts. And yes, show unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Amen. Rejoiceth not in the truth. Rejoiceth in the truth. Amen. Beareth all things.
Amen.
Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things.
Yeah.
Charity, love never faileth. Amen. That's a key verse.
Amen.
Love
Amen.
Never fails. Amen. That is so true. Love never fails. Amen. That's why God can't fail. That's why he's going to come back. He has success with Christ. He's going to return to the earth. We're saved for all eternity, and we're going to reign with him for 1,000 years. Brother, I was sharing that with my brother the other day. Me and my brother was talking. I said, man, it's going to be something. We're going to actually get to come back to this earth. And I'm 49 years old. And, man, I feel like I've been on this earth not a long time, but I've been on this earth for a little bit. Amen. I feel like I've been here for a little bit. Amen.
Yeah.
But can you imagine living for 1,000 years? Oh, my God. Man, on this planet. Amen. No more guns, no more missiles, biological weapons, no more threats, no more bow and arrows. It won't be no need for none of that. Amen. It's going to be turned into plowing equipment, farming equipment, love and peace. And Christ is going to rule. Hear me good.
Yes, sir.
Hear me good. Christ is going to rule with a rod of iron. And he's going to break anything in his way like a clay. That's in other words, the reference of that is an iron rod is so hard, steady, and powerful. And anything that comes against it is like a pot of clay that can be easily broken. Meaning that Christ is going to easily break anything or anyone that dares to come against him. Any type of society, any type of government, amen, which he will be the world government, Christ will rule. We will be in rulership with him because he's going to give us responsibility to rule the nation. How awesome is that, man? People don't understand.
Sir.
You're going to miss out, amen, in the Middle East. You're going to miss out because you don't want to be safe. Man, you're going to be awesome. You're going to be great. You're going to get a brand new body. You're going to come back and live in this earth. Man, you don't need to go to the gym. You're going to look so good.
No more skin.
Flawless. Man, if you want to eat, it's going to be nice. I love watermelon. Hey, man, I let it be told. I love watermelon. You're going to get to eat good fruit. Ain't going to be this stuff now. See, all this stuff that they're doing to the world is bad. I think about how they taint the water, they taint the food. None of that would be going on. No more genetically modified organisms. They can't genetically modify anything anymore. No more organ harvesting. That is so huge.
Come on, man. Talk about it. Amen.
I saw something the other day where they have doctors in third world country that are actually they drug people. You got to be careful. And the people don't even know what's going on. And the people come off as nice. They drug them. Next thing you know, they're dead, laying on a cold table. They're taking their organs.
No.
I said, man, this is a cold, evil world. Sinister. That's the word that came to me yesterday when I watched.
Yes,
sinister.
Diabolical.
We live in a diabolical, wicked. This is man that we deal with. And God is tired of it. Time is up. The 6,000 years is here. Amen. Let me finish reading, amen. I'm going to finish saying my thoughts. Amen. Charity never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now by the faith, hope, charity, these three. But the grace of these is charity. Charity meaning love. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another blessed day. We come thank you for another opportunity to praise your holy name, to give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor, for you are more than worthy to be praised. You are our God for everlasting throughout all eternity. We will forever worship and serve your holy name. Heavenly Father, we can't wait till the return of your Son, Christ, to redeem us back to you so that we may live in this perfect body, this perfect mind, and just worship you and praise you for all eternity and to live the way it was intended for man to serve you, dear Heavenly Father. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Well, you're so good. You're so awesome. You're so full of grace and mercy. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen. Amen, Doctor. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I'm just going to say a few things, Doctor. I'm going to let you
get work with
started.
It, brother. Take your time.
Amen. Let him use, let the Holy Spirit use us today. Amen. We just want to reach souls. Amen. I spoke to a young man today whom I've been knowing since he was a kid. Amen. Some heartbreaking information that he was sharing with me. Amen. And, you know, just some things that he has been through in his life. And we know that sometimes, amen, people are broken. There's a lot of broken people in this world. And I acknowledge to him, amen, brother, you know, I know that I may not have been through, you know, you're probably not really half as young as me, but he's younger than me. But I acknowledge that some of the things that, you know, he's been through in his life, I hadn't been through. And I acknowledge that. There's been some people in this world, in this life, that have been far through more worse than I can even imagine. I'm just going to be real with you. Things are happening when they were children, when they were kids, when they were teens, maybe when they were in high school, young adults. Things happen. And is it unfair? It definitely seems unfair. I would definitely acknowledge that. It does seem unfair. I have to say it. You know, and some people are redeemable. Everyone is really redeemable. But some people, it's just hard to bring them from that. And I think what hurt the most is to hear him say that he won't accept Christ. And I was just like, my gosh. You know, that's hard to hear from someone that's over half their life.
Yes.
Young man, you're aware of things that went on in their world, and it just seemed like Lord, you know, you pray. And I told him, man, I'm going to be praying for you. I told him I love him. You know, I wish him the best. I do. I wish him the best that God opened doors for him. But most of all, I'm praying for his salvation. I just want him to understand that regardless of where we come from and what we've been through, we had a similar conversation a little over a month ago about suicide. You know, and I want people to understand that I'm not hard on people that, you know, have committed suicide, people who think about complaining. I had a family member close to me to say something like that years ago. It was hurtful to hear because I never thought that the family member felt that way. You never know what people are thinking. You never know what people are going through. In this world, you know, so many of us in this world are just our hair from losing it. You know, that's just what it is. We are our hair from losing. You know, only so many people in this world, you know, maybe their situation financially is good, or maybe their mental state is good, or whatever the situation is. But we got to be praying for people. We cannot give up. We got to stay on our knees. We got to show love.
Yes,
we got to be humble, especially as a church, man. And it hurts me so much that church people walk around with their nose in their air when the world, when people are lost, they're looking to you for help, for answers. Don't turn your back on people regardless of what they've been through, where they're from, who they are, what they look like. And the church damages, I have to say, the church damages so many people who are looking to come to the church because of, they feel like, oh, I'm better than you. I smell better than you. I have more than you. That none of that matters. And I was sharing with the young man that nothing in this world matters, regardless of who we are, where we come from, what we've been through. The only thing that matters is that we accept God. And I acknowledge to him that, yeah, I know that you more likely, for sure, have been through more than I've been through. But God, that's why Christ died. That's why he sent his only begotten Son to fix us by his blood. Those of us that are broken, to fix us. Man, we're all broken. There's nobody walking on this planet that ain't been broke. I'm going to tell you that now. If you do, you've been serving the devil since you was a child. Amen. We have all been broke to the point to where we said, you know what, God, if you came to get me today, I'd be okay with that. Well, I tell people all the time, I tell people, you know, the church has to stop this nonsense that we live in a glass house and that we're perfect. I hate that. I've hated that. Since I became saved, I see church people walk around with their nose in there, and they act like they don't need a bath. Man, we all got to take a bath every day. Amen. Every day. We have to keep ourselves and groom ourselves. Amen. If you miss a day, it's only because you've been sitting in your bed all day, sitting on the couch all day, and maybe you ain't went outside or anything. But I guarantee that next day you still need to bathe. Amen. None of us are perfect on this earth. And I was just explaining to him that, you know, good doesn't save you, because a lot of people think that if they think God weighs our salvation on a balancing scale, if that was the case, we would all go to hell in the lake of fire. The Bible says, all your righteousness, you are still as a filthy rat. In other words, God said, if you try to bring you to me and present yourself to me, you will fail, and you're worthy of hell in the lake of fire. You can't do it. That's why Christ said, you can only come to the Father. No man can come to the Father but by me. What was he saying?
Yeah.
He was saying the only way that you can be saved is if you are dipped and washed in my blood. My blood is what washes away your sin. This is why we know that works don't save you. This is why we know that once Christ redeems you through the blood, once saved, always saved. Man, I know I've been preaching this for 20 years. The brother's been preaching this for more than 50 years. And I'm going to tell you right now, man, we'll preach people under the table with this stuff, because we got scriptures to back it up. Scriptures upon scriptures upon scriptures. And there's like two or three scriptures in the Bible that would possibly support that you can lose your salvation. But once you do your study and research, that's not what the writer was saying. That is not what the Bible was saying. The Bible does not support that. We have to love on people, man. God is love. So many people in this world have been hurt by church people, by parents, by brothers, sisters, loved ones, enemies. We've all been hurt by someone. The world is broken, and we need to show love. The hour is very, very, very short. We don't have time to stick our nose up in the air. But yet I still see church people with that mentality and that attitude. They don't want to reach out with open arms and love people and embrace people. It's sad because the brother said best. Amen. The church has done the best job over the past 2,000 years. We have not. We could have done much better, especially in these last 150 years. Amen. We hadn't done it because now, since the devil has thrown so much money at the church over the past 50 to 70 years, that's all people are focusing on is money. How much money can we bring? The church is so lavish. I don't know if y'all seen this, but they were talking about the churches over in Africa, how it's big business, how the Pentecostal and Kojic churches over in Africa bringing their millionaire pastors and stuff in Africa. And it's the same here in America. I'm not excluding America. America and Europe is number one for it. But they were just saying how it's big businesses in third world countries, especially in Africa, how these pastors are living lavish lives. But the people need love. The people need salvation. People may need help every now and then with groceries and bills paid. You know, this is the type of stuff that the church should be doing, the type of stuff the church needs to be doing, not going around parading itself saying, hey, look at me. That's what the problem with the Laodicean church in Revelation 3. That was their problem. That's why Christ said that. Let me go to the scripture and read it to you.
Go ahead, bro.
I'm going to read it to you. Revelation, the third chapter. So a lot of times, like, we got to show you scripture because, you know, sometimes people think we just be making up stuff. Revelation, the third chapter, verse 15 and 16. It says, I know thy works. Christ know your works. You ain't fooling nobody. You can fool me. You can fool Elder Bazaar. You can fool anybody else, but you can't fool God. He said,
no.
I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou was cold or hot. Verse 16 says, so then because thou art lukewarm, you are in the middle, you are playing games, neither cold nor hot, I will what? Spew thee
out of my mouth.
I don't see how a person can get salvation from something that Christ said, I'll spit you out. See, if I don't ingest you, that means I don't want you. In other words, if I put something in my mouth, and let's say I have a bad habit, I like sweet stuff. My wife gets a lot of ice cream cookies and cakes. I'm bad about it. I like sweet stuff. So if I put something, I'll give you a good example. I ate a cupcake this past week, and I didn't like the icing on it, but it was nasty. I didn't like it. I spit it out. I didn't like it. I didn't ingest it, meaning I didn't swallow it. I didn't like it.
I
spit it out. And I spit it out because I did not like it. If I don't like something, I'm going to spit it out of my mouth. I'm going to get rid of it, meaning that I don't want no part of it. So if Christ wants no part of you, to me, in my interpretation, in my spiritual understanding, you cannot be saved. He does not want nothing to do with you because he doesn't like what you're doing. There's something that you're not doing right. You're not showing love. You're not being kindness. You're not meek. You're not humble. Remember, we talked about the over in, I think it's Galatians, brother. And I'm going to get ready to turn over to you. And I know we're going to talk some more about some things out of Revelation, but I got to share this. Here it is. Galatians, the fifth chapter, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. That's the signature. What did I tell y'all the signature of the believer is? Love. If a person does not show love, I get away from them. I don't care if they say they are a pastor. If they don't show no love, the Bible says you a lie, the truth ain't in you. You go around and lying to people, portraying that you're
a
man or woman of God, but you're cold-hearted. That's not going to cut it. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy,
love,
peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Watch what the writer Paul said. He said, against such there is no law. If you are expressing these things, you are a child of God.
Amen.
But you have to have the blood. You got to accept Christ. Like I told the young man today, good ain't going to get it. You can't good your way into heaven. God ain't going to put no, when he judge, our judgment, we are already, our judgment is unto works, our inheritance for what we did. We are already saved. He's not going to put our heart or something on a balancing scale to see if you're going to get into him. That's not how it works. Once you accept Christ right now, today, in this life, you are already going to live for all eternity. But I
want Amen. Amen.
That. Amen, doctor. Amen.
Amen.
I just want people to understand, you know, and I know, like I told him, I know that you've heard me teach through the years. You've been at the church when I talk. I teach so elementary. Meaning I teach on a level that elementary kids can understand. The reason that I know that, I've been doing it for 20 years, and I got people right now in their 30s that's been saved since I've been teaching, and they were teenagers then, and they're in their early, and they remember, they're saved. They're in their 20s. They're saved. I taught them when they were little kids, and they understood it. The Bible said if you train up a child the way it should go, when it gets old, they shall not depart. It don't matter what they get out here in the world and do. You trying to judge them because they were young. We were young, too. When I was young, I was acting up and cutting up, and I wasn't even saved. These young folks have accepted Christ. Let them live their life. God's going to take care of that. Leave that to a power greater than me and you. The Holy Spirit is going to deal with them and will call them out and say, enough is enough, like he did me. The Holy Spirit will call you out and will deliver you from the world. We trying to sit there and we trying to judge. It's not for me to judge nobody. Let me share this right here. I'm sorry, brother. I'm going to give it over to you. Amen. I got to share these things. Amen.
All right.
So I'm going to talk a little bit. We're going to mix it up today, man. You know, I didn't really get a chance. I just got to be honest to really get in depth into any studying or anything. So I'm going to freestyle today. You know I'm good for some freestyle, but you know what? When you study and read your Bible enough, you can freestyle. Amen. 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 Amen, doctor.
Amen.
I want you to know, first and foremost, our time is running out.
Yes, sir, brother.
Time is running out. And the king is coming.
Coming.
He's coming.
He's coming.
Make no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I know folks are enjoying this life. I know you just bought your brand new house. You want to enjoy that house for the next 20 or 30 years. Some folks want to grow old and get the, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, part of my dream is to grow old with my wife and for us just go and hang out in nice places around the world, vacations, like hang out on the beach. I'm talking about simple stuff. It ain't got to be nothing lavish. I just want to go to the beach and just watch the water, just watch the waves, just watch nature, watch what God has done. I just want to enjoy. I would love that. But if he come back tonight, if he come back today, if he come back right now, I won't be disappointed. Amen. Let me share this with you. I'm gonna come back with some more stuff, but I didn't overspend my time, so I'm gonna give it over to my brother in a minute. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 11. Watch what it says.
Go ahead.
Now you do know that this is after Paul has said to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. But watch what Paul said. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 11. He says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God.
Yes.
And I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. My job was just to share the story that I know that I've shared with the young brother before in the past. I don't know what happened. I don't know where the disconnect is or where it was. I know that the brother was raised up in the church. I know that things happen in everybody's lives. I'm praying for him. I hate to hear that come out of a person's mouth. Because, see, I ask questions. When I ask my questions are precise and direct to give me an answer, which means that when I ask a question, I look for a – I ask a closing question to get a direct response. And so he gave me the response that he wasn't going to accept Christ. And he said that it was just him personally. He just wasn't going to accept Christ. Something has happened in the past to cause that, to cause that shield to go up and say, no, I'm not going to accept that. And it's kind of like we were saying with the reprobate mind. It's the worst thing to have that conscious sear with a hot iron. To say, I don't want no, amen, doctor. To say,
amen.
I don't want no part of God. My heart goes out to him. Because when you say those things into the universe, the devil and demons hear you, and they're going to do everything that they can to get you off this earth before you can change. That's a very dangerous life to live. And I'm praying so much for the brother. I love him so much. It was good to see him. I hadn't seen him in many years, some years now. It was good to see him. I was always wondering what happened to him. Brother, I'm going to let you go ahead because I can go on.
Go ahead.
Well, I'll
come back.
Amen. Amen. But I love the brother. I love people, man. I hate to see the world at a loss. This is not a joke, man. I hate when people play with souls and play in the church and you know, people want to walk around like they're better than us. I hate that so much. That's what distanced me from church folk. Not church, not God, but church folk. I had to get away from them because it was just too much foolishness going on in the church. And yet our youth is just dying out here, all over the world. All over the world. The youth is just dying. People in the church, young people, middle-aged people, elderly people, mature in age, just leaving this world. And there's no concern from those who have the power. They have the power, meaning that they have the platform, they have the numbers in the church, they have a lot of people in the church. They have the ability to do outreach. They have the ability to reach a lot of people. And yet all they want to give is a motivational speech and take up a big, large collection and go home. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
And Christ is soon come back.
Soon to come.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, doctor. Go ahead. Yes. Take it away, doctor.
All
tell
right,
me something,
right,
doctor.
You hit some vital points, salvation through Jesus Christ.
All glory.
If God can't keep us after we get saved and we lose our salvation, that means that he has to come back down here again and die.
Come on, doctor.
For our sins on Calvary's cross. And he's not going to do that because
amen.
He said he died once and for all, that men may have and receive eternal redemption. A lot of people going to be accountable for telling folks that they lose their salvation, they get saved again, and lose their salvation, get saved again. That's not scripture. Because
amen.
God don't work on a temporarily plan. He works on an eternal plan. And that eternal plan represents Christ dying. Jesus mm-hmm. died as a man. He died. The blood that came from his body was drained, all of it, shed it on Calvary's cross. What he did, he paid fully, guaranteed. He paid full and all for your sins. And if a person repents, turn from their sinful motives, turn from their sinful action, turn from their sinful thought, and hate sin. You got to hate
amen.
Sin. And love righteousness. And when you repent, you are broken down with a contrite spirit. And when you confess Jesus Christ with your mouth and you believe with your
that's
heart
right.
that God raised him from the dead, the Bible said, thou shalt be saved. It didn't say you
that's
shall
it.
Be saved and you might continue on if you stay saved. Well, you You didn't save yourself. Jesus Christ saved you. And Jesus Christ keeps those that have accepted him as Lord and Savior forever. But some folks don't understand that because they're carnal-minded. They're carnal-minded. And the carnal nature always think that when you do something in the flesh, that unsaves your soul. But see, sin in the flesh cannot unsave your soul. It can't. It's impossible. Because the Bible said, comes in, he comes in to stay. Jesus Christ will not leave none of his saints because he said, I will never leave you, neither will I forsake you. Lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. Salvation is free. Salvation is secure. If anybody die and go to hell, it will be their fault. Why would you want to die and go to hell and be lost forever when you could have free salvation through Jesus Christ? Why would you want to go to hell if your salvation is secure? If you fall down, if you backslide, your soul is still secure in Jesus Christ. The devil cannot come in to your spirit world and come into your soulless world and take the Holy Ghost and pull it out of you. He can't do that. It's impossible.
Right.
Satan cannot get close to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost and the spirit of wickedness cannot mingle in with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is sanctified. The blood of Jesus Christ was sanctified. You cannot live a hypocritical life, then die and go to hell. Because what a hypocrite is a hypocrite is a person who has a form of godliness, but they don't have the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. And they want to claim that they're Christian, but they live like the devil. My God, you cannot live like the devil and go around here talking about you hate folks. You don't like the white man. You don't like the Chinese. You don't like the Jews. And you going to heaven. You ain't going nowhere, brothers and sisters. Let me tell you, you ain't going nowhere. And I don't care what church you go to, because you got a lot of churches that got their eyes up in the air. They think that God is the only one that they chose, if he chose them at all. Because a lot of people say they've been chosen of God. God ain't even touched it. God ain't even bothered with it. God ain't even thinking about it. Because no man can come to Christ. No man can come to Christ. No teenager can come to Christ unless Christ draws him. And you got to want to be drawn to Jesus Christ. Because I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, if you ain't saved and you die tonight, you die tomorrow, you die 3 years from now, if you die without Jesus Christ, I'm pleading to you. If you die without Christ, you are directly going a beeline to hell. And I'm not saying that in anger. I'm saying that in love. I'm saying that as a warning. I'm saying that because God so loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Don't be, a lot of people scared to get saved because they think they got to stop doing stuff. No, wait a minute. Before you stop doing anything, you got to get saved first.
Come on,
you can stop anything that you want that's a bad habit. And if you refuse Christ, you still can die and go to hell. See?
Amen.
It's not by works that your salvation is acquired. It's not by works. It's not by looks. It's not by your money. It's not by your status quo. It's not by the color of your skin. It's not by who do and don't do. It's not about that. It's about repentance. Why? Because you sinned against a holy God. God can't take sin. God can't take sin. The only way God could take sin is when he became man and he became a sin offering. And when he took my sins, your sins, the sins of the whole round world and took it and died on Calvary's cross, went to the bowels of the earth, preached to those in prison, got up on the third day morning. He paid the price. Ain't nothing to give you for recognizing that you're a sinner. All sinners go to hell. All hypocrites go to hell. Then somebody come along. Here come the devil. The devil said, oh, you don't backslid. Well, I got some news for you. God is married to a backslider. God is married to a backslider. A backslider is always saved, although he have backslid. What's a backslider?
Amen.
A backslider is a person that's been converted, that's standing still. They ain't moving forward. They ain't moving backwards. They standing still. Their growth is stunning. Their growth is stunning. They believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They know that he died and rose again. They confess with their mouth and believe with their heart, but they have backslid because maybe somebody hurt him in the church. Maybe he hung around the wrong group. And maybe that old damned nature pulled that flesh right back in into that world, and the world looks at you and say, man, you ain't saved. No, that don't mean I'm not saved. That means that I am a child of God, and God got some black sheep in the closet. Don't you know that? There's a lot of Christians that living a black sheep life, and God loves them because he said, I got an unconditional love. I'll love you to the end. I'll go with you all the way. But the thing is, you've got to have faith enough and enough to say, I know God loves me. Although I'm not right, I'm saved, but I seem like I can't get this thing together. Well, you got to be around some strong people. Amen. You got to be
Amen.
Around some loving people. You got to be around some sanctified people who love God and know the circumstances that you're going through. Because a lot of church folks, woo, because they ain't never been in that position, they want to condemn you. But let me tell you, I thank God for Jesus Christ. I thank
Amen.
God for Jesus Christ. Because nobody in the church world, nobody in the religious world, nobody in the secret society world saved me. It was Jesus Christ that saved my soul. And that's who I trust in. And that's what you got to trust in. I don't think you can't trust in your mama. You can't trust in your daddy. You can't trust in your brothers and sisters. You got to wholly, fully trust in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the only one that has true love. I'm talking about true love, brothers and sisters. I'm not talking about this hip-hop love. I'm not talking about this love of the flesh, pride of life, self-righteousness. You're better than somebody else. You think you're something.
Amen.
But let me tell you, that's not love. When you talk about each other, you run each other down. You want to see each other fall down. But that ain't love. That's the demonic. That's the demonized demons. Because the Bible says the devil is a liar. And the truth is not in it. And every time he speaks as a lie. And then the Bible says, if a man say he loved God, if a saint say he loved God and hate his brother, he's a liar. And the Bible says, you know, no liar has eternal life. Because the
Amen.
Bible says that God, I cannot put up with liars. Because in Revelation it says, all liars are cast in the lake of fire. What is a liar? A blurt out liar is a person. Listen to this. Listen to this. A liar that will go to hell is a person, an unregenerate person that rejects Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and a person that deny that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. That is a liar. Why? Because he is lying, saying that Jesus Christ is not God Almighty. And if Jesus Christ is not God Almighty, that means Brother Bazaar is lost. That means Brother Bazaar don't have eternal life. That means Brother Bazaar is telling a story. But let me tell you, I know I'm telling the truth because it comes from the word of God. For without Jesus Christ dying for my sins and sins for the whole world will go to hell. Uh-oh. If the whole world going to go to hell without Jesus Christ, what are you going to go if you die without Jesus Christ? You're going to hell.
Mm.
And I don't want you
Amen.
To go to hell. I don't want you to go to hell. You know why? Because let me tell you, it is hot. It is excruciating. It is mind-boggling. Mm. It is, I mean, you can't bear it. I mean, to bear and really think deep on that, it's out of sight. Because the heat that you have to live with forever will be so hot and be so long that everybody that goes to hell, the big and bad, the tough and rough, I don't care, the smart and the foolish, the rich and the poor, the one thing they're going to wish in hell, they're going to wish that they were never born. Never born. I wish I would have never been conceived. I wish I would have never been thought of. But that's too late now. The world today is not thinking about God, don't care nothing about God. They're spitting at God. They're telling God to go take a flying leap. They're telling the cross there ain't nothing to the cross. And that's why you got these motivation speeches around the world, these preachers preaching money and fame and glory and preaching riches and everything. Let me tell you, they're going to burn in hell. And I'll tell you face to face, they're going to burn in hell for telling those lies and not preaching the gospel of our Lord and Jesus Christ. You're
Come
going
on,
to hell.
Doctor.
Because there's no way that I can justify, if you're not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died and rose again to save your little soul, your little tiny soul. Your soul ain't that big. If you would get in a plane 35,000 feet and look down on the ground, you couldn't even find me. That's how small and insignificant I am, yet still
Amen.
It's a big thing if you die
Amen.
And go to hell. Without Jesus Christ and spend eternity, whoo, forever. I don't care if you're 19, 15, 14, 25, 35, 45, 65, 85, 95. If you never accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, whoo, you're going to burn in hell. You're going to burn
Amen.
In hell. And God loves you so much. Oh, dude, he loves you so much. He loves you so much that he's warning. He's warning the world now. In eschatology, he's warning the world that I'm soon to come. I'm soon to step my feet on this earth. But before I come back, there has to be a seven-year tribulation period. A seven-year tribulation period in which God will judge the world. He's going to judge it, and it's going to take 7 years for him to judge it. And now
Amen.
We're standing on the threshold. We're standing about 4 or 5 months away from the greatest event that will ever strike this planet since
right.
the birth and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, since the beginning of the time when God said in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. This is going to be the most significant event that happened pretty soon, within 4 or 5 months away. What's that, Brother Bro? What's that, Brother Bazaar? We're standing at the threshold. We're standing at the threshold of the final event that the world is going to be shocked at. It's going to be, I call it Shaka Zulu. I call it, it's so much fear and terror that it'll quiver your liver. Woo! It'll make your hair stand on your head. It'll make your hair curl. It'll make you run to the hills and the mountains to escape what's getting ready to come on this planet. And it's going to come
That's
on
right.
here within the next 4 to 5 months. Oh, man, you trying to predict the day and the hour. No, I ain't. I wouldn't even dare. I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole because Jesus Christ don't even know. Only God knows. And he said that when I come, I'm going to come as a thief in the night. That's the first phase of the second coming of Jesus Christ because there's two phases. There's a phase which is called, what I'm getting ready to talk about, is the rapture. The rapture. Amen, amen, amen. The devil don't like the rapture. The preachers today don't like the rapture. The occult don't like the rapture. The religious don't like the rapture. All these folks that's claiming that they know Jesus Christ, all these folks that's denying Jesus Christ, all these people, and there's a lot of people on this planet that's lost. In fact, you want the status quo? Majority of the world is lost.
Amen.
You know what I mean? 7.1 billion people, and majority of the people on this planet is lost. Why?
Right.
Because
That's
they
true.
Won't recognize who Jesus Christ is. Not my fault. They won't recognize Jesus Christ is God Almighty. They won't recognize it. God
That's right.
Almighty in the flesh. And Jesus came down here, God himself, and suffered. They beat him. They crucified him. They hung him like a piece of meat hanging on a stake. They nailed nails in his hands. They nailed it in his feet. They pierced his side. They disfigured his face. They had him on the cross almost in a nudie position. The only thing he had is something to cut private parts. That's all he had on it. Whipped him They cut his muscles and cut his ligaments, and they utilize him as nothing. They say he ain't nothing. If he's so much the God, so much the Savior of the world, why don't he come down off the cross and he save himself? But Jesus was not thinking about himself. Ooh, he forgot about himself. What was he thinking about? He was thinking about you, thinking about me, thinking about the drunkard, thinking about the liar, thinking about the backbiter, thinking about the churchgoer, thinking about the false preachers, thinking about those that are outside of the ark of safety. He said, I'm going to give them an opportunity to be born again. I'm going to give them an opportunity to be redeemed.
Amen.
I'm going to give them an opportunity to shun the very prince of the damnations of hell, because I love them so much. I want them to live with me forever. I want to fellowship them throughout eternity. I want them to praise my name and give me the glory and let the world know this is the Christ we're talking about. This is the Christ I'm serving. This is the Christ Brother Tim Jackson is serving. The one that never lost a case. The one that don't need a bag for a doctor's office. He's a doctor's office on the move. He's a mind regulator and a heart fixer. He's the one that can keep you through anything. He's the one that came from nowhere. Yeah, because there was nowhere for him to come, since he's everywhere. Yeah, his glory filled the heavens. The stars jump at his sight. The moon gets light from him. And what I'm saying, eschatology, as I move on, this eschatology, what's coming up? What's coming up, preacher man? What's coming up is the 70th week, the 70th week spoken by Daniel the prophet. The 70th week is when the tribulation will start. How can the tribulation start? The only way the tribulation can start is, number one, the Jews have to be in preparations of rebuilding the temple. Oh, listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I am saying. The temple must be in preparation to start building now. They started on their celebration on May the 14th. They celebrated 74 years that the Jews have been a nation. And now on the 74th birthday, they said, we are making preparation to start building the temple. Well, if they start building the temple, guess what? Number two, the Antichrist must be alive now. He must be full grown now.
Amen.
He must be in a place where he is a king, where he's a priest, and he must be in place to take the position of being the Antichrist, because that's what he's going to claim. He's going to say to the world, I am Jesus, but actually he is the Antichrist. He's the devil's specimen.
Right.
He's the devil's specimen. What you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the devil is going to use this man's body, and he's going to incarnate himself into his body, and he's going to raise him from the dead on the middle of the tribulation period, the 70th week. He's going to lay in the morgue for 3 days, and Satan will be cast out of heaven. And the UFOs and the demons and the Nephilim and the demigods and the wicked spirits will be cast out into the earth. And the devil will incarnate this man's body, and he will be resurrected from the dead. This is eschatology. This is end time. Now the Jews are preparing the temple. They're preparing the Ark of the Covenant. They're preparing the menorah. The menorah is the 7 golden candlesticks that they're going to set up above, around the temple. They got the priesthood already in office. They got all the vessels in office. They got everything in order. Lord have mercy. Give me strength to tell somebody that can understand. We are at the last close. This is the last generation. This is the last millennium. This millennium ends in 2229. I'll say it again, 22-29, this generation ends, which will be 80 years. 80 years will be fulfilled, and it only can be fulfilled unless the rapture occur. Woo! Unless the rapture occur this September 2022, this generation will end in 2029. Will we be fulfilled the whole book of Revelation until the battle of Armageddon? Uh-oh, I missed you. Did you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying the Antichrist is alive today. He's alive, and he's more alive than any person on this planet. And people are walking around, preachers are walking around talking about motivation speeches, talking about jet planes, talking about real estate. People are walking around playing all kind of games and having parties and moving around and traveling and going here and going there. People are running, driving airplanes and motorcycles and automobiles, riding horses. Oh, they're going on picnics. They're going on banquets. They're going on long vacation. Oh, they're just trying to enjoy themselves. But at the same time, the Antichrist is getting ready to change the world, and the world will be changed when the Antichrist come. And when he come, he cannot come. Good God Almighty, y'all got to help me up in here. He cannot come until until Laodicea is now. Laodicea is the last church age, and since it's the last church age, it's called a lukewarm church. But yet and still, there are a few saved in the lukewarm church. There's some got to come out from them, and the only one can come out from them is when God said to the angels, get ready. Get ready. Go down into the music room and get my trumpet. Go down in the music room and tune up the trumpet, because soon and very soon, the Lord, as Apostle Paul said, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voices of archangels, and the trumpets of God shall sound. And the dead in Christ shall rise, and we shall remain alive. Shall be caught up to meet the Lord in heaven. And I know the Lord knows my address, and he knows my name. I know I've been redeemed, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And when he called my name, Apostle Paul said, after this the tabernacle be dissolved, I have another building. And then he said, in a moment of a twinkling of an eye, I'm going to change this mortal body into more immortality, and I'm going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, that's the rapture. That's the rapture of the church. When the rapture of the church occur, in a moment of a twinkling of an eye, it would take about 14 days before the world even know what's going on and try to get a fake explanation on what done happened. And the Antichrist will come and speak to the people and tell them, don't worry about it. These are the tricks of aliens. These are aliens came and got got these sanctified folks, came and got these people that call on the name of Jesus, people who've been redeemed. Don't even worry about it, because it's going to get better. And what he does, he goes to Jerusalem. The Antichrist goes to Jerusalem, and he signs a pact with the Jewish people. And this pact is concerned with building the temple. The Antichrist gives the okay to the Jewish nation to build the temple and to take us back into Judaism, which the Antichrist will be much appreciated, because he does not uphold Jesus Christ. You know the devil ain't going to praise the Lord.
Amen.
He was going to praise the Lord. No. They're going to say the Antichrist is going to tell the world and the Jewish people, build the temple. But at the same time, he's got a filthy plot in his mind. And he tells the world, and he eases the world. But that ain't all that's going to happen during the tribulation period. Another event that's going to happen is going to shake the world. 38 and 39th chapter of what? 38 and 39th chapter reveals us World War III. World War III is on its way. It is here. It ain't going to go away. You can't dream it away. You can't run away from it. You can't put it out of your mind. It's real. It's authentic. God then made God, Meshach and Tubal. The red horse cannot ride until the church is raptured. You hear what I said? The Antichrist cannot ride until the church is raptured. As long as the church is here, they won't. Antichrist can't come, and World War III cannot come. But immediately after the rapture of the church, the Antichrist rises. And with a few weeks or few days, there's going to be an invasion. Oh, look here what I'm trying to tell y'all. You better listen, preachers. You better listen, choir singer. You better listen, choir director. You better listen, church goer. You better listen to all those folks out there. Amen. They say you're going to heaven and living like hell. You can't live like hell and go to heaven because it don't mix. Guess what's going to happen? When the church is gone, the Antichrist bride, the first 3.5 years will be a false peace. When Russia comes down from Moscow and they're going to stop by Turkey, they're going to stop by the Ethiopians, they're going to stop by Libya, they're going to stop by Iran and Iraq, and they're going to gather and muster the largest army on the face of the earth for the first and last time to what? To come down up on the Jewish people and try to annihilate them and try to get rid of them. But they're not going to use no bombs. They're not going to use no nuclear bomb. They're going to use horses. They're going to use ancient weaponry to go down and try to take the oil, the potash. They're going to try to take the food and the cattle and the riches and the gold and everything. Why, this army would be so large until Ezekiel said it would be like a cloud that covers the land.
Well,
I don't know. And since the oil prices is up, and since the artillery, it takes gasoline and oil to use to come down there, they're going to switch from utility of machinery and use ancient weaponry. They're going to use weaponry as such as horses. They're going to use metal pressed into hard steel to use it to attack them. But yet and still, they're going to burn. They're going to burn. Listen, they're going to burn the weaponry. You can't burn steel. You can't melt steel just by a light of a fire. But they have a new technique to compress wood. So hard that you can kill somebody with it, and yet still you can put a match to it and it'll burn. And Israel, during the time of the tribulation period, they're going to bury the dead for 7 months, and they're going to burn the weapons for 7 years. What 7 years you're talking about? I'm talking about the 7 year tribulation, because this is when it's going to happen. The church won't be here. Sorry. Bye-bye. Good day.
Amen.
Nice for the stay. I told you so. You better get ready. You better get ready. September is a September is a hot month. You talking about hot now? It ain't hot yet. Wait till millions of people all of a sudden vanish from the face of the earth so fast that the clothes that they're wearing won't fall to the ground. Uh-oh. What you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about going to be so quick that clothes will be still standing after you go. That's how quick it is. Oh, my God. And they tell me folks are going to pull hair out of their head. The suicide rate going to go up. People are going to be saying, goody, goody, goody. God, I'm glad those saints, I'm glad those Christians are gone, because I'm tired of hearing about Jesus Christ. And there's going to be a lot of people that's going to get the gospel from the last 7 years, and they're not going to get it from the church. Church as a whole has failed God. The church, the body of Christ, has failed God. And guess what? I'm in the group, too. I'm in the group. I ain't excluding myself. I need to preach harder. I need to witness harder. I need to pray harder. I need to be concerned about people's souls more every day. Why? Because hell is hot, brothers and sisters. Whoa. Don't you worry about trying to get out. The only way you can get out is accept Jesus Christ right now. You can accept Jesus Christ. Repent of your low-down, dirty, rotten sins. And don't go around telling yourself you ain't done nothing bad. You bad already. You bad without even doing
it. Amen.
You bad already. Why? Because sin is born in you, shaped in you in iniquity. Your mother did conceive you. So don't go around like talking about you goody-goody, because there ain't nobody good. Jesus said, don't call me good. I only know one that's good, and that's my Father's in heaven. And Isaiah said, your righteousness, your little church stuff that you got going on is like filthy rags. It stinks. It's rotten. It ain't mean. Why? Because it's done without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder for those that seek him. What? With all their mind, all their soul, all their spirit, all that they got. Say, Lord, I want to be saved.
All right, you better
want you to come into my life now. I don't care what the world is. I don't see nothing good in the world. Only thing what God made is good. Is good. All the trees and the birds and everything. But man has become rotten to the core. You ought to know, and I'm going to give it over to the brother, people, what people are doing today. The child pornography is ramming and destroying our young girls and young boys.
Come on,
pornography is killing church folks. Pornography
is
white swapping them. And gambling and drinking. People, church folks do this stuff. Get it right. Quit kind of, like the brother said, you can fool me. You can fool me most of the time, but you can't fool me all the time, but you can't fool God none of the time. Who you think you are? You think you can sneak up on God? Shoot, God knows anything before you even think about it. 3, 4, 5 years ahead of time, he knows where you're going to be. So what you talking about? The world is corrupt, and we got homosexuality, we got monkeypox, we got corona, we got syphilis. I'm talking about stuff that's going on in the house of God. I'm talking about people going on the outside. I'm talking about people sneaking around. I'm talking about wife swap. I'm talking about people getting in bed with 3 or 4 more people having sex orgies, and they are enjoying it. I'm talking about the Illuminati's. I'm talking about the secret societies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about masonry. I'm talking about the Sphinx. I'm talking about Baphomet. I'm talking about all these secret societies that got the world corrupt. And guess where they at? In the government. The government! The presidents and the senators are in the Illuminati. Oh, come on, y'all. Open up your eyes. All this year, Hollywood movie stars that's making big money. I mean, making money until they filthy rich. We got young girls,
right,
young boys, selling their souls and giving it over to do irreverent things. And we got young girls that's 15 and 13 and 10 years old having sex with old men. We got baby killers. Women want to smack the babies out of their womb. We got they're using their fetus for money gain. They're using it for scientific experiments. They ain't doing
That's
it
right.
just because they make money. When you abort your baby under the table, they give them women some money. You didn't know that. You know, a girl go out here and get pregnant, hey man, and she said, well, you can make for a couple thousand dollars if you abort your baby, because they use the baby parts. Ball Barry, the world go mad. Sick. And this is in the upper salon. This is the elite. These ain't folks doing this stuff. These are high class doctor degrees, preachers, doctor degrees, got all kinds of plaques on their wall. And yet, preaching a damnable gospel. And God said, I'm going to repay you. Payday is coming, brothers and sisters.
Sure.
Don't be in the line. Get out the line. Get in the line where the cross stands. Jesus Christ said, I'll forgive you. I'll sanctify you. I'll glorify you. I'll redeem you from sin, death, and hell, and Gehenna forever. Don't be a fool. Please don't be a fool. And I know I sound kind of, I'm mad at the devil for
that's right.
doing God's creation like that, and then I'm upset with you if you
come
don't
on,
come
doctor.
To Christ. I'm upset with you if you don't come to Christ, because you'll be a fool if you don't, because he loves you so much. And this is the hour we're living in. There's a whole lot of more things that I wanted to get to, but I'm gonna give it over to the brother right now.
You're all right,
and let him open up that altar and give you an opportunity wherever you are. You go to church. That's good. You go to church, but have you been changed? Have you accepted Jesus? I mean, sincerely now. I, are you a new creature in Christ Jesus Christ? I've been saved for 60-something years. I got saved when I was 9 years old, and I'm a new creature every day. I'm a new creature every day. My body may be getting old. I may not be able to do one thing, but my spirit, my soul is brand new every day.
Come on, doctor.
Every day.
Come on.
My soul can't get old, but my body is what's getting old.
That's right.
I used to run. Right. I used to be able to jump 6 feet up in the air. I used to run the highs and low hurdles. I used to run 440, 220. I can't run that now. My body. But my soul, I get in my spirit world, and I can see myself still running. Woo! In the spirit. I can't run physically. Why? Because I'm old. And don't you know? You're getting old every day. And if you get old every day, God gives you another day to live. And if you ain't saved tonight, and you need Jesus Christ. Ooh, come on. There's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood. And he wants you to right now. Brother Jackson wants you to come to him. He's going to open the altar, and I'm going to give it over to him right now. But this year is end time. So be looking out for Jesus. Be looking out for Jesus.
Amen.
Number one. Look out and keep an eye on Jerusalem. And keep an eye on Russia and all these nations that's lining up, because you don't hear too much about it right now, because they're plotting. And about August and September, buddy, you're gonna get some news. And don't you know the Pentecost is the first of the Pentecost 2,000 years ago. That would be the same day. Same day that the Holy Ghost came down from heaven and filled the whole world. And it all was filled with the Holy Ghost. That was the conception of the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And now we're celebrating 2,000 years later. It's the first. It'll be the day of Pentecost. And the next feast day, listen to what I got to tell you, is the Feast of Trumpets. And the Feast of Trumpets happens in September. Oh, my God. And from September to Yom Kippur, October, Yom Kippur, that's when Christ comes back at the end of the tribulation period 7 years later. And then you got the last one that God said will be fulfilled. Brother Jackson said just a while ago, God is the old-time God. He's
Amen.
Right on time. And God ain't going to miss nothing that he already said. So the Feast of Tabernacles, that's when Christ comes back with the church, because the church will be in heaven for 7 years. And after the seven
yes,
years
sir.
Are over, we will come back with Christ. And we, all the saints of God, will reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000, absolutely 1,000 years. And all the hell that's going on today, all this old crooked church that's going on in the church, done away with. All the lying preachers going to be done away with. All the backbiters, the hypocrites, all the drunkards, all the liars, all the whoremongers, all of them going to have their part in the lake of fire. And you can't be mad at me. And you can't be mad at God, because he's giving you tonight, whoever listened to me, he's giving you tonight an opportunity to come to Christ. Don't be a fool. I say that in love. Don't be a fool. because it's going to get worse as we go in to these hot months. It's going to get worse. So don't be crying. Say, oh, what's going to happen to the world? And what are we going to do? Oh, I'm telling you what to do. I'm telling you to repent and come on to Christ. Don't let that red-headed, two-faced, slew-foot devil run your life. Let Jesus run your life. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. Go ahead, brother. Work with it. Open that altar up. See if anybody want to come on in.
Amen. Awesome, brother. Awesome word. Amen. To all glory do we owe the Most High God. Amen. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yes,
we are almost there. Amen. We are almost there. Amen. Brother, I heard you mention some things, and a lot of times they say we say stuff that you're not going to hear in your mainstream church because maybe your pastor feel like it's unfit or it's not decent or, you know, it's not politically correct to this world, spiritually correct to this world, that, you know, people don't want to hear you say anything about gay people or lesbian or you know, gay and lesbian people or transgender, whatever, you know, title they want to take upon themselves. You hear about, you know, the child pornography. People are taking advantage of children. This stuff is real. This stuff goes on in America. I was shocked to find out that people are sex trafficking teenage girls that as young as 12 and 13. I believe in Dallas here recently they caught some people. I think the girl was 12 or 13, something like that. But that's not the first time. I remember years ago, this happened to be somewhere back around 2013, somewhere between 2013 and 2015, a similar situation happened to where they was somebody was had this young girl, 13 years old. It's just amazing to me. I'm like, you know, how could this even happen? I'm talking about in America. This is not some third world country. This is right here in the United States. I'm like,
yes,
how
sir,
could
brother.
This even happen? I've even spoken to women that say that stuff like that have happened. You know, even met a young lady here recently that mentioned something like that. But hers was voluntarily. I'm like, you know, thinking in my mind, you know, you don't want to get into a confrontation or make it a big deal between it because that was their choice. I'm thinking to myself, how could you make a choice like that at that age, 12, to do something like she's? This is what she told me. This is what she shared with me. If it's not the truth that came out of her mouth. She said she had been having sex with grown men since she was 12. I'm like, where was your mom and daddy at? How is this even possible? You know, I didn't even get into no all drawn-out conversation about it because I don't want to get into deep into people's. But she said that they were giving her money and stuff. And this is – so I said that to say this. This stuff goes on, and it's not unusual because there are people who know that this stuff is going on. We just hear about this stuff every now and again. I had a friend that told me about that. Her nieces and her niece's friends were in high school doing stuff like that. They were getting favors from grown men doing stuff like that. So it's not an unusual thing that this type of stuff goes on. And so this is why we have to push what we're pushing. We have to preach to God. We have to come as hard as we can because the devil is going hard as they can. They know that the hour is short. The demons are working overtime and plus time because there's no joke. What's going on out here in the world is no joke. Like the brother said, they're taking advantage of young girls. Young girls are sleeping with older men. This stuff is real. And
real.
He mentioned something about the orgies that had came up this week. About, you know, how these orgies operate. And I've been knowing about these orgies in the metro since the 90s. I remember when a friend of mine, since late night, early 2000, she had told me about how they do this stuff, about you got to get an invite, something like that. And it's amazing, the stuff that I hear. It's mind-blowing. Like, I'm talking about you may think it's maybe like 20, 30 people. No. I'm talking about hundreds of people. This is mind-blowing to me. When I heard that, I'm like, y'all got to be joking. Y'all can't be serious. They say hundreds of people, hundreds. I'm talking about the numbers be like 200 and 400 people. That is so mind-blowing to me. I'm just thinking to myself, who would want to be in an atmosphere like that where you are unclothed around that many people doing that stuff? This goes to show you we're telling you this stuff because this stuff is real. This is the grip that the devil has on this world.
Yes.
I don't think this is new. This ain't new. The Bible said there's nothing new under the sun. They've been doing this stuff since before the flood. This is where all this stuff came from. The fallen angels came to earth, excuse me, and showed man this stuff. Say, hey, do this. Do that what the fallen angels were doing. They came down here. You, when you think they were sleeping, what do you think they were doing? Taking them one by one. What? No. The Bible said that they were taking the wild. Let me read the scripture. Let me go over there real quick to Genesis. I think it's the 6th chapter.
Go ahead.
Read to you so I can show you where these orgies and all this stuff comes from. People think this stuff ain't, this stuff is in the Bible. You just got to read and study. Watch what the Bible says.
Go ahead.
It says in Genesis the 6th, I got a little time. Genesis the 6th chapter, verse 1 says, yes, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. Beautiful girls, just like now, we got beautiful women in the world that the sons of God saw. In other words, they looked at them and said, man, them some bad mama jammas. They is fine.
Yeah,
they desired the daughters of men that they were what? Fair. They saw them and said, man, look at her. God didn't create this in heaven. Why God didn't put this in heaven? And they took, watch it, and they took, and say they asked, and say they came down and say, you know, I'd like to marry you, take your hand and went, no. And said, and they took them wives of all they chose. What do you think that means? It means that they took them and had their way with them, whether they wanted to or not. Some probably agreed to it. Some of them were like, no, I don't know about you. I don't ain't nothing that I want to do. They took them wives of all they chose. What do you think they were doing? Man, them angels were having their way with the women. They was doing this and doing that, and, hey, I want this kind and this. It's just like anything else. If you get candy, you taste lemon, you want to taste cherry. You want to taste grape. You want to taste all the flavors. I know when you get those Skittles or the little jelly beans, brother, you know, you get to taste it once. Man, that was good. Let me try the. That's what they did. They saw all these beautiful and said, man, I want to try this. They were so wicked, evil, diabolical, and sinister that women wasn't enough. They started doing animals. And anything you can think of, wicked. This is the type of stuff that's happening today. Orgy stuff ain't new. They've been doing this stuff for hundreds of years. And I know that you can only imagine what they were doing back then in the time. And no, this is why we said that the earth probably had billions, probably more people on the earth before the flood than we do now. Because you want to know why? They lived longer. There was no law. If I wanted 100 or 200 kids, I could. I'd just have kids and go on to the next woman. Have kids, go on to the next. There was nothing to restrain them. There was no conscience in their mind to say, hey, brother, you need to stop doing that. It didn't exist back then. They was taught all this evil, wicked stuff by the fallen angels, showed them. So this is why they're going to pay and burn for all eternity for showing men all this wicked, evil stuff. They've been having orgies and taking advantage of young girls and young boys. For thousands, up going all the way back to almost 6,000 years, they've been doing this stuff. This ain't new. They've been doing this stuff for thousands. The practice, the only thing is that they just took it underground. They hide it from the view of the public, and they try to act all nice and say, hey, we don't do those things. You don't do those inappropriate things. But the same people who will say that stuff, judges, police officers, politicians, what you call it, congressmen, people who are entertainers, wealthy people, you name it. These folks that are in fraternities or sororities, this is where a lot of that stuff comes from. I heard people in sororities and fraternities say some of the most crazy stuff. I didn't even know, and I wish we had a little bit more time, but I'm going to say this real quick. I had a girl say, this chick said that stuff been going since the 80s. So if she said it's been going since the 80s, actually what she don't know has been going on for thousands of years. I said, what? I was in shock. I remember an ex-girlfriend of mine told me, she used to go to this college, she's told me about how the boys, the men basketball team, they was all having sex together. I said, you lying. She said, no, I'm not lying. I didn't believe it. But now, looking back today, I believe all that stuff I was told. This was coming out of the early 90s, I was told this stuff. Couldn't believe it. I'm talking, then you know how we are. You mean our people doing stuff like that? Yes, our people. Our people was doing it thousands of years ago. The whole world was doing it. This orgy stuff ain't new. This men taking
That's
advantage
right,
of young girls and young boys and women taking advantage of you. You see young women have getting these women out here having babies and having sex with teenagers. This stuff ain't new. This stuff been happening back in the '50s, the '30s. They just hide all this stuff from the view of the public. They hush, shh. They don't want nobody to know. This stuff has been going on for thousands of years. It ain't just men. It's grown women too. You think
women.
Men are sick? Women are sick with it too. They doing it too, having sex with young boys because they like men. They want a virgin. They want something new ain't been touched. You think this stuff is just men? No, it's women too. This the wickedness of the devil, sinister.
Yeah.
Man, this stuff has been going on for thousands of years. Orgy stuff, I wouldn't doubt they got orgies where 500 to 1,000 people be participating in that stuff. I just think to myself, who in the world would want to be in something like, I just don't find none of that attractive. I never have and never will. Brother, we finna get ready to close. I can go on and on about this stuff, but I finna get ready to close. It just amazes me, the information that I heard. I said, what? 400 people? Like, who would want to entrap themselves from 6 or 7 or 8 hours with 400 people in the room all night doing that? No, sir, the devil. But this is the type of world we live in. And when you indulge in sin, and like the brother say, man, when you live that type, you can't serve God and be in that type of stuff.
No,
come
can't.
On now.
You got to post that they live for.
Then the weekend, once a month, so they have these events. They've been having them for thousands of years. We think this stuff is new. They've been doing this stuff for thousands of years. You back during slavery, before slavery, 1,000 years ago, during the time of Christ, during the time of Daniel, Abraham, Noah, Enoch, you name it. Back when man, Adam and Eve began to populate, they've been doing this stuff since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
Ain't, the Bible said it best, ain't nothing new under the sun. Amen. Family, we got to get ready to get out of here. If you want to be saved today, if you want to be delivered, we're not judging you, amen, on what you do, amen. We're just stating the obvious and the truth. But if you want to be delivered from sin, you say, man, I'm tired of this stuff. I know I got tired of this stuff over 22 years ago. Say, Lord, you know, deliver me. I want something new. I want a better life. Amen. Romans 10.
Amen.
All you have to do is Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. All you got to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. The Bible says that thou shalt be saved. How more simple can God make salvation? Easier than you breathing. Easier than ABC 1, 2, 3. And I promise you, salvation is easier than learning your ABCs. Amen. I remember when I was a kid, we used to learn ABC 1, 2, 3. I remember back then, mama used to pop you. If you didn't get it right, mama said, mama get that little stitching card that switches hit you on the hand. You better get them numbers and them ABCs and letters right. Amen. So getting saved is easier than learning your ABCs and 1, 2, 3s. I'm serious about that. Paul says in Romans the 10th chapter, verse 9, he says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, the Bible says thou shalt be saved. That's it. Just that simple.
That's it.
Just that easy. And faster than you can blink and faster than you can think, the Holy Spirit is already in you. You don't know it. You may not even recognize it, but the Holy Spirit is working in you, and it's going to work miracles. It's going to change your heart and your mindset. Family, we will be back on the air, I believe, tomorrow. Amen.
Amen.
I think we're going to be on 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. East Coast. We'll be back on Sunday. Amen. We'll be back on the air. Family, we love you. Remember that you're a royalty. You are God's best. God love you. I love you. The elder loves you. We want nothing more but than to see you in heaven. If we don't ever see you on earth, we will see you in heaven. God is good.
Amen.
We will be back on the earth. We love you. Good night. This is Rain Love Ministries with Overseer Timothy Jackson and my co-host, Elder Bazaar Watchman on the Wall. We will be back on the earth tomorrow evening. God bless you and good night. Amen. Good night.
God bless you. See you.